This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day in Texas.
Oh,
beautiful.
Of course. It was a beautiful sunrise this morning. The whole day is beautiful. It's going to be a little hot, but, you know, welcome to West Texas.
Well, that's exactly right. You don't think West Texas is going to be hot. You're dreaming.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole new world over here.
It's a little hot in the summertime, and I think
it
we're
does.
At summertime.
But remember, we're not to 106 yet, so we are blessed.
yeah, we got a couple more degrees to go. Not many, but
right.
Just a few.
And see, you didn't live here the summer that we got between 106 and 112.
No, I wasn't here then.
And we had several days of that.
Really?
And everybody was just, people couldn't even hardly go outside. And then all the men that worked outside had towels on their heads soaked in water, you know?
I'm
Everybody
sure.
They were just barely making it.
Well, that kind of temperature, that's dangerous.
No kidding. It was pretty dangerous.
Not only uncomfortable, but it can sneak up on you, too.
That's exactly right. And everybody's animals, you know. The first thing they say is, do you have a pond? You know?
Yeah.
And people that don't have a pond, if they have somebody like llamas like I do, you have to really watch them because if they haven't been sheared yet, they need to be sheared immediately. Before it gets any hotter.
Yeah. That fur coat can really trap in some heat, and they can overheat, and it can be dangerous.
Yes, it really can. And it can for adults, you know. Lots of times people go out and mow the lawn in the heat of the day.
Oh, yeah. That's,
you're not supposed to do that.
No.
You're supposed to do that in the evenings in the shade, you know.
Yeah.
Or before 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
But, you know, the neighbors do not appreciate it when
you
get up at 5:30, you're mowing out there.
You crank up the mower before the sun comes up and somebody's going to have something to say about that.
They certainly will. And I mean, they're going to say, you know, who is this idiot that lives next door to me? Oh, me. Well, anyway, it's a good day in Texas. It's a good day to be a Texan any day of the year.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
And we've got lots of things to talk about. Let's give out the phone number.
Okay, let's do that.
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105, and that's on Big Spring, and that's right next to Ivy Cottage, my favorite store.
Yes, of course, it's your favorite store. You can always go to the website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. You can find case studies from past investments. You'll see exactly what people have made. All the numbers are up. You'll find testimonials, so you'll see what the experience has been like and how easy it is to actually make money. And that's what this is all about. It's about making money, growing your money, so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early.
That's right. And we've talked about this before, but the only way you can do it is to get started. You know, procrastination won't help. You can just talk about it forever, and it won't move the money. It won't increase it any. So the only way to really increase it is come over and talk to us if you like us, if you like the plan. If you're accredited, this would be a good way to increase your retirement by a lot before you get ready to retire. And that reminds me, the London policy that, you know, came due, what was it, just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That money is already in their accounts.
Really?
Yes, they sent the check out early. I mean, I'm shocked. You know, usually an insurance company will take 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, after, you know, we get them all the, you know, documentation showing they died, the death certificate that's certified by the state. And, you know, it still takes several weeks, but we got that one awfully quick.
Wow, that seems a little unusual.
It is unusual. And I don't remember who the life insurance company is, but I like them.
I'm sure several people like them at this point.
Yeah, anybody that pays early, we love them.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And we don't like it when somebody holds up a claim for ex-wives. You know, we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
You know, when an ex-wife, after 10 years, the man is dead, comes in and says, oh, I should get half of that. Mm. You know, that really burns me because, you know, she wasn't there at the divorce. I mean, she showed no interest in that policy when we bought it. And now she suddenly thinks half of that ought to be hers.
And is that something that she has an actual claim on, or is this just something that will hold up the courts and it won't mean anything in the long run?
I don't think it will mean anything. Our lawyers say, you know, she's just full of bull.
Yeah.
And but they're filing all kinds of papers against her this week to try to get our claim resolved and get our money to our people, because it is holding it up, and we don't want that. And we've never had an ex-wife come in all the years I've been in business. Been in business 16 years. And this woman had been divorced for 10 years.
Wow.
And she's coming suddenly forward. Wakes up one morning and says, you know, I bet I could get some money from nuisance value. Faye and them will have to pay me where they can get that claim released.
Wow.
That's what she's hoping, that she can pick up $50,000-$75,000, because she knows we need to settle it and get the money to our people.
But that's probably not going to happen.
I don't think so. With the papers we filed this week, I think it's going to be over. Just, you know, I think in 2 to 3 weeks, I think we'll have it back in our ballpark and get our people paid and send her on her way.
Good, good.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping. I want to get her out of her hair. But as I said last week, I'd never heard of it.
Well, you've
never heard of something like that happening.
We've never talked about that until last week, and so when you mentioned that, I thought, okay, obviously something had happened, and then you went into the story a little bit, and so I'm like, my goodness, I don't know. I mean, usually when, at least in the news, as far as, you know, the main populace knows, when something like this happens, it hits the news right then. Not what'd you say? 10 years later.
10 years later.
Wow. That's just, and there's ways that you can prevent things like this from happening, so that if by chance somebody does come forward, you know, even 5 years later or 2 years later,
that's
or
right.
Whatever,
and
it is.
And we usually get a certification,
mm-hmm.
You know, always get that certification that they have no interest in that policy. And the people that, you know, the provider, somehow or other, because it's been 10 years, he didn't go ahead and get it certified, and now he knows. Yeah, I don't care if it's been 25 years, you get a certification.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to have that certification where there will never be a question of an ex-wife sneaking in and saying, I know I don't have any right to this money, but boy, if I can cause enough trouble, I'll get some of that money.
Yeah, you know, just to shut people up.
That's exactly right. So anyway, that's the first time that's ever happened in 16 years, and I want to get it put to bed as quickly as possible and get her out of our hair.
Wow, yeah.
And hopefully we can do that. In the meantime, we have policies, that $4 million one that we had talked about before. We did close that. You know, I talked on the air about it, and several people called and said, let me in that thing. Well, then we were held up. We didn't have all the documents signed, but we do now. The owner of the policy has now signed over everything, all of his rights and interests. We have a valid contract now. We're going to start filling that $4 million about Monday. We
okay.
should be ready about Monday to start filling that thing.
All right.
And so that's a big policy, you know, that we were trying to get and having lots of trouble, you know, getting it finalized.
This is the $4 million policy?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
And we were just having all kinds of trouble, you know, getting it done. But now we've got it. We're ready to go. And then we bought a lot of little policies. I bought 6 little policies, like $250,000, $300,000, you know, those kind.
That's kind of rare for you, isn't it?
It is. But they became available and we bought them. You know, it's just that simple. We need policies and they're good policies. And so, you know, we went ahead and bought them. And then we had 2 other policies that we had to. We were trying to close on, and both of them passed away. I mean, I could not believe it.
Before you closed on them?
Before we closed, the man had been in the hospital all week, and they said, well, as soon as he gets out, we'll get the final document signed. Well, he didn't come out of the hospital. It didn't work out.
Wow.
So we ran that one too close to the, to the vest, because he did pass away. And the other one, we thought it was a 12-month breast cancer, and it turned about a zero breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
So we cut those two too close. And, we were trying to get the document signed, and they'd been ill, and the family said, well, as soon as they come out of the hospital, we'll get that signed for you. And so it didn't work out that way. They did not come out of the hospital.
Wow.
So, it can happen, when you're buying policies. And, people don't realize it takes several weeks from the time we know we have a deal to get the signatures, to get all the documents signed, and then to get it transferred from their name over. Because you don't want to leave it in their name.
Now, how did that work? Because I know that, a lot of times, you're looking at, 18, 24 months, out, for the expectancy of a policy. But how does it, did they just, not decide it until it was almost too late, or?
No, the doctor had given them 12 months. So they thought it was very short to them. They only had 12 months, so they wanted to go ahead and sell it, now. They didn't want to wait 12 months.
Wow.
And the way it turned out, they waited too long because they were a lot sicker than what we thought.
Wow. That's a really big difference to go from 12 months to less than one.
Yes. And if you remember, we've had several policies come due lately in 2 months, and that's what's happening. We're buying them right there on the cusp, and it's a little bit dicey. We're getting them right there at the end of life. The doctor's saying you've got 12 months. Well, we've had two already that didn't have 12.
Yeah.
The London policy and that other one that came due last week. They both came due in 2 months.
Wow.
So that tells you something. We're cutting it a little close.
Yeah. Well, it's great when you can get those types of policies. I mean, it's great for investors because their turnaround is real quick.
Yes. Investors, it's a good thing for them. It's just if you cut it too close, and of course we didn't know that, then, we don't get that policy, which we would have liked to have had both of those. They were great policies.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're buying others. And as I said, we bought a lot of small policies, $250,000, $300,000. We've got those. And so we'll be closing on those this next week, as well as the $4 million.
And so between the $4 million and these little policies, you'll be filling them this week, do you think? By the time you close,
yes,
might it be next week?
Yes, we will. The $4 million, as I said, it's taken us extra time to get it ready and get everything signed off. But we do have all that documentation now, and we should be able to start this week of filling that.
Great. Well, and that sounds fantastic. That's good news for investors.
It is good news for investors. They've been waiting, and this will get them off the wait list and on to value, on to policies. And that's what we're here for, is to make them money where they can retire early, happy, and wealthy. We don't want anyone to retire poor.
No.
Being poor would not be a fun thing.
No, that's not a fun way to retire. You want to go out and travel and do things and visit people and sleep in. You don't want to be up all night worrying about, oh my goodness, do I have enough money to make it through retirement?
Yes, I heard someone say the other day, a younger person, say, well, I've got $9 left to payday. Now, is that ridiculous or not?
$9?
If they only had $9 left, they need to either get a second job or check their holdings, go back and say, how much am I spending every week on movies and entertainment and all this? What am I spending on food and groceries that are not really essential groceries?
Yeah.
What am I spending on rent and gas? I mean, I'd be checking myself.
Yeah.
But young people will take it to the wire because they're always just waiting for payday. And, I've had employees say that. Oh, goody, today is the 15th. We get paid.
Yeah.
That's cutting it close.
Yeah, that's cutting it a little close.
But I guess young people think about things differently than mature adults. I mean, we know what we're going to owe, and we've set all that aside. We're ready to pay.
Yeah.
In fact, we'll do ACH, They just, don't bother with the check. But young people apparently don't do it that way.
Yeah, I think it's a totally different mindset. I know when we were young, you know, when we were in our early 20s, we would still go out and, you know, waste our money on all kinds of things. And then we look back, you know, several years later and like, wow, can you imagine how much money we actually wasted doing whatever it was we were doing that we probably shouldn't have been doing in the beginning?
Well, and I find, too, that young people will take trips they can't afford. You know,
yeah.
They'll go places they have no business going because they don't really have the money, but they'll do it anyway.
Now,
older people would not do that.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've got some. It's almost like a young person's training, for lack of a better term. But you've got some families who are investing, and then they bring in their children, maybe in their maybe in their teens or their 20s.
Oh, they're in their early 20s.
Early
20s. And the ones that we're getting now, thank goodness, are going to be graduating from college, and this is going to help a lot because they're going to be more mature than when they first came to us.
Yeah.
So this is going to help them. And their parents are helping them, and they're telling them, you know, you cannot take money out of this investment for 4 to 5 years, and that way they'll be in their 30s, and surely they'll have more of a head on their shoulders by the time they get to be 30.
Yeah, it kind of teaches them to be a little bit responsible and the value of money and how you can actually grow it and not waste it.
That's right. And, of course, most of my clients are just very good at saving their money. Now, we do have those that come over and don't have but that $50,000, and we know right then they're in trouble. You know, you cannot retire if you've got $50,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to stay with the accredited now. We've made our mind up about that. They must be accredited, so they've got to have either $200,000 in income for this particular program, or they have to have a net worth of $1 million. Now, we can do a non-accredited, but we're going to do annuities for them. We're going to put them in something that they can grow. It's guaranteed from now till the day they die. And so annuities would be better for them. The threshold is not as high, you know. You can put $20,000 today in an annuity, and you can't in this. So it's going to be for a different type of clientele.
Okay.
The annuities, you can put $500,000 or $1 million, but you can start an annuity with $20,000 to $40,000.
And then grow that, and then maybe shift them over into investing in life insurance policies or something like that.
Yeah, maybe in 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a while. But people are making 22 to 24% with us. And that's just an average, you know. And all these policies came in early, they made 15% in 2 to 2.5 months.
See, that's you're not going to get that anywhere else, especially in the stock market.
No, you're not. Now, the stock market's up right now.
Mm-hmm.
But all it needs is somebody to say something happened in a foreign country, and, man, it'll pocket right back down.
Oh, yeah. It'll bottom out in a hurry.
It does, and this happens a lot. And, of course, the risk is great, but if a person can stand the risk, you know, if they lose some, it's just tough, you know. Like in 08, everybody lost so much money.
Oh, yeah.
And people came into my office in tears and crying.
Are people do they still remember 08, or has enough time gone by and people are kind of like, yeah, it's okay, and they're forgotten
the lesson? They're a lot more cautious.
Yeah.
I think they're a lot more cautious than they used to be. They didn't used to be cautious at all. You know, they just, oh, well, whatever happens. But, no, I think a lot of them are a lot more cautious now.
So the lesson has stuck with people.
Yeah, I think the mature adults, most of them, I think, have made changes since then.
Yeah.
I know I've had a lot of people just swoop up their 401k and bring it over. They said, we've had it. We can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Because I know investing in life insurance policies is very, very different than investing in the stock market. And there's a number of advantages to this. One is that obviously the risks are nowhere near as high as they are in the stock market.
That's right. I think the risk is lower. It's not 100%. There is risk. There's three risks that I talk about all the time. And the biggest risk is it doesn't come in when we think it's going to. It could go over. So you need to make sure that we're in a policy that's got small premiums. You know, we talk about those old people that we bought those policies that haven't ever come due. I mean, and that was a risk, let me tell you. The risk is still sitting right there.
Yeah.
But usually, it could go over a year, could go over 2-3 years, and usually that risk is small. You're still going to get your money, but you didn't get it on the day you thought you would. And the premiums are usually pretty small. But if you go with somebody that's putting in a 90-year-old policy, they're 90 years old, your risk is so great it's ridiculous because the premiums are huge.
Yeah.
And this is what we're finding out now. You know, it's been 3 or 4 years, and this 90-year-old has not died.
Wow.
I mean, they have not died, and we're still holding the sack on it.
Well, there's a difference between being elderly and being sick.
And they are elderly, but they are not sick, let me tell you. They are not. And that has, you know, taught me a valuable lesson. Do not buy policies on older people. You know, you've got to have a cutoff date. And we do have a cutoff date. And I will not buy a whole life policy on anybody that's, you know, 70 years old, even, because that policy is going to be very high. Now, if it's term life, you can do 70 all day long, and you won't get hurt, won't get stuck. But most of our people, as you know, are 50 to 65 years old that have cancer.
Yeah, and it seems like you've had a couple lately that have been on the radar that have been much younger, like in their 20s and 30s.
That's right. We bid on that policy. I don't know if we got it or not. You know, that young guy that was 27 years old.
Yeah.
And he got cancer just real fast. I'm still pretty much in shock about his cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it just seemed to happen pretty quick.
So what kinds of cancers are you looking for in people?
Well, if it's pancreatic cancer, you know, we'll buy them every day, all day long. That last one, a real short one that died, that was pancreatic cancer. And they were saying 18 months. Well, I've never yet seen one that made it over 12. And, of course, this one made it 2.5 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And colon cancer, they swear, is the deadliest form of cancer. And, of course, then we've done a lot of breast cancer, and most of them have passed away. Especially when these women will not go to a regular doctor like MD Anderson or Duke or Mayo, you know, or Cleveland Clinic. They decide to go to Mexico. And we've got a policy right now that we just bought on a lady. We had to wait for her to get back from Mexico for her treatment.
Really?
But I was determined to buy it because I know she is going to have a very short lifespan because she went to Mexico and played around with the chiropractor and, oh, my gosh, all these orange deals she was taking.
So when you think about bidding on a policy, you know everything about them. You know if they've gone to Mexico. You know what treatments they've had. You know if they've, you know, tried to drink some kind of spring water someplace. You know if they've gone for radiation. You know everything about them.
Yes. Now, sometimes when we're reading the life expectancy, it'll say, this person did not come back for any more tests. We think they have they're seeking ultimate treatment, you know, a different kind. Well, so then we get on that right now and find out, what are they doing? Why did they not come back to the doctor? And why would not do surgery? And when they will not do surgery, when they say, we think we might could save you doing the surgery, there's no 100% chance. And they're doing that alternative medicine. So I try to buy all those because I know it's going to be the first ones to go. There's no doubt about it.
This is probably a dumb question, but
okay.
Is it possible that maybe they had just gone to see maybe a different doctor and it's not on the report?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
Because when they come to us, we have to ask them, and when you didn't go back to your doctor, where did you go?
Okay,
so,
I see.
Yeah, see, we have to know. It's been a year or 6 months, whatever it's been, and you didn't go back. Now, what have you been doing? Oh, we've been to Mexico. Or we've been to Guatemala. I've had them go to Guatemala.
Oh.
And, oh, my gosh, they give them all kinds of treatments.
Oh.
And one guy had 115 coffee enemas.
Sorry, what?
Yes, he did.
15.
Yes. And he has passed away, and we did buy the policy.
I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
I never had either. It was very strange. And you know, when I read it, I go, if this guy cannot possibly live, I mean, this is going to do him under. And it did do him under.
So you've seen just about everything, almost any scenario that's possible over the last several years.
We see some strange, strange things. Yes. Now, the strangest of all is we were bidding on a policy, and I looked down, and it said the guy was incarcerated. I'm going, oh, my gosh, he's in jail. Oh, my gosh. So we got to checking it out, and he was a lawyer, and he embezzled all this money. They sent him to prison.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but apparently he was going to get out, and he wanted us to buy his policy, and it was a huge policy. Of course, coming from a lawyer, you know they could afford it. And then we read a little farther. He said as soon as we gave him the money, he was going to go to Poland and get a new liver. I go, well, my gosh, he ain't ever going to die if he goes to Poland for a new liver.
Yeah.
So he said, oh, my gosh, this is a bad case, very bad.
Wow. That is a little bit of a strange. You could probably write a book, I'm sure, of all the strange things that you've encountered.
Yes, I think I could. Between the nannies, when my children were little, my children have always said, Mother, you need to write a book about these nannies. It would be a bestseller. They probably would. So between that and these people that we deal with, yes, if I could separate those two, I think they'd be bestsellers.
Do you ever find that people come in to the office and they say, okay, this is my first time investing in life insurance policies. I'm not really sure what we're doing. And then you kind of go through the plan, and then you say, okay, this is a 24-month policy, and this is how much you've got in, this is how much you're going to make. Do they sit and do some kind of calculations like, okay, I should get paid on or about this date in 24 months?
No, they don't do that till later.
Okay.
When it's kind of getting up close and they haven't heard anything, whether the person is live or dead, then they start calculating, you know, is this going to be on time or is it going to be late? Or, you know, then they're kind of wondering. And, you know, but we've had several people since the first of the year have had three policies mature.
Really?
We've had three.
That's incredible.
And then we've got some that theirs have went over and they're having to pay premiums. So, you know, it's just, it can go either way.
So this is really one of these things where you can almost set it and forget it. You do the initial investment, and then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to check in every week or every month. You don't have to stay up all night, you know, going online to check anything. Or it's just when it's done, and that's all there is to it.
That's right. And we try to make them, as you know, we tell this all the time, we try to make everybody about 1% a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's usually the way it comes out. I think 1% a month is pretty good in these times.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't, just don't know where else you could get 1% a month.
Well, you know, you calculate what people generally, especially in the last several years, lost, like investing in the stock market. I mean, you know, when you're losing 5-6% a month,
I mean,
this looks pretty good.
It makes it look a lot better, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. So do you find a lot of people are still tired of the stock market, still haven't recovered from 2008? They come in and they say, you know, I just need a safer investment, something that isn't going to keep me up all night and give me ulcers.
Well, they do want a safer investment. They have recovered. Everybody's got their money back now. But a lot of them just don't want to go down that rabbit hole again. They say, you know, if things go bad, you know, I'm older now. I'm 5 or 6 years older. And I just don't want to do it. And then I have a lot of people that have given us their money, and they went ahead and retired last month, and they said, you know, that they figured they could make enough money with us that they don't have to work.
It's almost like a retirement before retirement because they don't have to worry.
That's exactly right. And we've got several people that did retire this year, and they just told us how much we have to keep in cash each year to make sure they have enough money to live on.
So,
and one guy, it's $60,000. One person, it's $200,000. And then the pilot that retired, I think his is about $60,000 because he's still working. What he did, he gave us his retirement, his 401K, and then he is doing charter work now.
Oh, okay. So he's just doing a little busy work on the side just to stay busy. He doesn't have to work.
No, he doesn't have to. He's got enough cash with us to make him enough money, you know. But we're keeping enough money in there for him that to fall back on if he says, I don't want to do any more charter work, you know, that this will work.
Now, this is the big question. For those who have never done this before and are thinking about coming to see you for the first time, for those people who have retired this year, how long have they been investing? How long did it take them from start to finish to get to the point where they can retire?
Well, I've got several people. It took them 4 to 5 years, you know.
See, that's not long at all.
No, I don't think it is. And, you know, I've got people, as I said, that did retire this year. Had several of them, and when they came to me, they had $300,000 or $400,000. They've now got $1 million.
Wow!
And but they had several that came in early, and that boosts you by a couple of years if you have several that come in early.
And this is probably the time to do that because it seems like there's a trend right now where several of these policies are coming in early. It's not normal, but it seems like right now you've got a bit of a trend where, you know, enough have come in early where it's starting to look like, hey, this is noteworthy.
I think so. I mean, we've had three come in early. I mean, not just 6 months early, but, you know, we've had three that came in 2 or 2.5 months, and that's going to make their portfolio change a lot because now in the same year, you know, they're going to go back and do another policy. So this will help them a lot. That 15% they made in 2.5 months, I think is really sufficient. Most people cannot make 15% in 2 months. And of course, it's unusual for us. We're not going to say it would ever happen again, but it's happened twice in the last 2 months. So, you know, we think that's pretty good.
Yeah, and then they can, and I assume in most cases they do, turn around, take that early payoff, and reinvest it, and start making more money faster.
Yes, they do. So it's important to keep your money invested, and we try to do that every day. And sometimes it's late, us getting invested, but once we do, it's still going to make the same amount of money. And it won't make any difference. Everything will work out.
So I know you've got a list of regular clients that you've been working with for a long time. For somebody who has never done this and wants to come see you, is there room for new people, or how
yes,
does that work?
Usually there's room. There's been a few times when I said, I just don't think we can do that. And especially if they want to put too much in one policy. You know, sometimes we have to say, no, you can't put but $70,000 in or $50,000 even. Because my people have a lot of money, and lots of times they're going to want to put $300,000 in a policy. And they do it sometimes against my wishes. But I try not to let them put that much in a policy. I'd rather they had $150,000 in it, or $190,000. But sometimes they, and of course these two policies that came in early, a lot of people had a lot of money in them. So it worked out. I mean, the one that had $250,000, they're going to make a lot of money, you know.
When you encourage them not to do that, is it so that you can spread it out among multiple investors, or is it to protect themselves in case something goes wrong?
It's to protect them. If it goes over, I figure, that's a lot of money, and I'd rather they had a little bit less at risk for the long term. You know, if it's supposed to be 18 months, it's going to go 25 or 30, I'm just trying to, to hold some back.
So as you look out for your clients, you're trying not to get them to put all their eggs in one basket, kind of spread them out.
Yes, I want their money spread out. It's the best way because that way you've always got something coming due. You've got something coming due a lot more often than you would if you just had one policy. If you just had one policy, if it goes 30 months, we don't have any profit for you till then.
Yeah.
But if you've got five policies, if something has been breaking all that time. And, of course, we now have up on the board, you can go to our website, and all the new policies that have matured are up there.
So everybody can see what everybody has made.
They can see what everybody's made. It's all up.
Do you ever have people come in and say, hey, I want to invest a chunk of money because they think it may be like a get-rich-quick type thing?
No, I've never had anybody say that. Because most of the people have talked to their friends or their relatives, and they know how it works.
So they understand that this is not a get-rich-quick scheme, and people, it's as normal investing. It's going to just take time. It's just
that it takes time. If it was a get-rich-quick scheme, it'd be on banana boats or on something, you know, fast, that they were going to, overnight, they were going to become rich. We're not going to ever tell anybody we're going to make them rich. Don't ever think that.
Yeah.
It's just everyday investing. It's a proven method, but you have to have everything escrowed. Anybody that is not escrowing everything, be leery. Because we've learned the hard way that money has got to be escrowed. Your premiums have got to be escrowed. If everything is escrowed at the bank, the investment will always be safe. That's the way it ought to be. And as you know, when we do a contract, every contract goes to the bank. Every dollar goes to the bank. Nothing ever goes to our bank account. We have never had $1 of clients' money in our accounts, and we never will. And that's the way a good company should do it. Never take the client's money over there. Always make sure it goes direct to the bank and pay the bank to take care of the money.
Nobody ever writes a check to Faye Bagby.
No, we certainly prohibit that. And, you know, as you know, we do two banks, Nevada Trust and Bank of Utah. Bank of Utah's went up so much, it's just ridiculous, but we're having to hang in there because everybody's money is in policies, you know? So we can't move all those, or I probably would, because the fees they're charging me are astronomical.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
But, you know, they've had that new girl that came from Wells Fargo. So you can imagine, Wells Fargo has some pretty funny ideas sometimes.
Yeah. Some funny ideas.
Yeah, they have funny ideas.
All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And every morning, or every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you always bring interesting facts and fun things to do to the table. So what are we talking about today?
Well, now, you not being from Texas, you may not get this, but I thought I'd ask anyway.
All right.
Do you know what major rivers join the state of Texas?
Of course not.
I mean, that was easy. I mean, that was quick. Well, there's three rivers. The Red River, which is between Texas and Oklahoma, is one of our big rivers. Then you've got the Sabine River. Now, the Sabine River is between Louisiana and Texas. I thought you might accidentally know that one. And then we have the Rio Grande. And, of course, the Rio Grande is the fifth longest river in North America.
Really?
It's the 20th largest river in the world. How about that?
That's huge.
It is huge. The Rio Grande, of course, runs between us and Mexico, runs through New Mexico, and in Mexico it's called Rio Grande del Norte.
Really?
And yes, and it's thousands and thousands of miles long, over 9,000 miles.
Oh, wow.
Then you've got the Red River. Now, a lot of people don't, they always think of the Red River between here and Oklahoma. But it's the second largest river in the Great Plains. And it starts in the Texas Panhandle.
Really?
So the Red River starts way up there. Amarillo, the Canadian, by Canadian, you know, I don't know if you know where Canadian, Texas is.
No.
It's way up there. And it comes east and comes all the way down between Texas and Oklahoma. And so it's another major river we have. Now, there's places in Oklahoma that it branches off and goes through Sayre and Erick, Oklahoma, places like that. And years ago, they dammed it up.
Really?
So, so now you don't have water flowing. You know, you've got the bridges still there, but you don't have all that water flowing like you do when it comes to Texas. And, of course, you know, it sometimes overflows, you know, when you have a huge rain or something like that. And then you've got the Sabine River. Now, the Sabine River flows. It's 510 miles, and it goes between Texas and Louisiana. And it forms a boundary, you know, between those states, and it empties into Sabine Lake, which is part of the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yes. So it was part of the United States Republic of Texas international boundary during the 19th century. That's what they used as one of their boundaries.
Really?
Yes. And it flows all along East Texas through a lot of little towns like Gladewater and, you know, things like that. And the name Sabine, Rio de Sabanas, and it comes from the Spanish word for cypress, because you got all these cypresses growing along the river. And it flows all the way through East Texas, where you've got all the oil wells, all the petroleum, and it goes to the Gulf also. And everybody used to say it divided the Old South and the New Southwest, you know, because of where it was. And, of course, you've got all those heavy thickets in East Texas. I don't know how they can even see the river because, you know, you've got so many things, you know, along the river's edge.
Yeah.
But, as I said, it goes through Orange County, Cameron Parish, Louisiana, you know, all the way through it. And as I said, it's 510 miles, which is not very long compared, you know, to the other ones. But it empties all the way. It joins Caddo Fork, Lake Tuolumne, which is the reservoir down there. And so then it flows all the way through northeast Texas to Lake Fork Creek. And, you know, Mineola and Gladewater and Big Sandy and Longview, they all use this river. And, of course, then it goes to Orange, Texas, which, you know, is down there by the Gulf. And so then it goes into the Gulf. All of these eventually, you know, except the Red River, you know, go into the Gulf. So most people don't realize. And then you've got the Colorado River. I forgot it. Now, the Colorado River starts in Lubbock.
It does, really?
Yeah, the Colorado starts in Lubbock and comes this way. So more than any other state, as far as I know, we have more rivers, big rivers, you know, that flow through the state of Texas.
Now, are these the types of rivers that you can go, like, whitewater rafting on, or are these, like, peaceful, scenic rivers?
Well, the Rio Grande is not real peaceful in a lot of places, you know. I mean, that thing is, you know, pretty rapid in places. But now, when you get down there to Big Bend, you can go through it there, and there's a lot of places it's just very quiet. Okay, but then you have a lot of places that it's violent. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
and then you've got, you know, through San Antonio, you've got, you know, the River Walk, and they've got the river that runs actually through the city of San Antonio.
You know, I've always heard about that, and I hadn't been to San Antonio, but it's on my list because I want to go see that.
Well, all these rivers we've got all go eventually to the Gulf, but most places don't have all the rivers that Texas has. You know, we have a lot more than the ones I named. These are just the ones that everybody realizes contributes to our boundaries. You know, I was just doing boundary ones.
Yeah.
And Texas is bound by all these different rivers.
That's amazing. I guess I didn't realize that we had bodies of water that kind of were used as boundaries around the state. I didn't know that.
Yes, they were. And a long time ago, especially during the Louisiana Purchase and all those things, you know. And if you remember, they acquired the French territory west of the Mississippi. Like, the Louisiana Purchase was in 1803. And we were at war at that time with the Native Americans in Louisiana. And again, that was along the Sabine River. And that war with the Indians lasted a couple years. And again, they were trying to remove the Indians to Indian territory. And it was so deep, you couldn't ford it. But it was navigable, and the early people, the travelers and settlers, would have to swim on horseback, and the cattle would be driven, and they'd have to swim across.
Oh, wow.
And then later, in the 1840s, they had steamboats traveling along there. So that's how deep it was.
Wow.
Yeah, and so they also put ferries in there to get people across that big old lake.
Well, that's some tough travel, especially before the boats were introduced.
Yes, it was. And in 1819, there was a ferry there, and it was called Gaines Ferry. And heck, it was in business till 37.
Really?
Yeah, and then during the Great Depression, they built the Pendleton Bridge over there. Yeah, and it was amazing, you know, how deep all this water was. And you had to either swim or something because there wasn't any low places in it.
I would imagine that would probably be some difficult swimming, especially if the water is rushing. If the rapids are pretty rough.
Yeah, and all of ours, we do have some of those.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, during that time, of course, everybody was fighting over there on the Sabine part because they were trying to do the Louisiana Purchase, you know, from the French. And it was finally resolved in a treaty in 1819, and that was when the Sabine River was established as a boundary from the Gulf to the 32nd parallel.
Wow.
Yeah, and of course the Mexicans were trying to gain independence back then, and they reignited the boundary dispute. Lots of times, you know, they were trying to say, well, the Neches River and the Sabine, we don't know which one's which. Well, they knew which one. Yeah, but they established the Sabine with that treaty. It was a western boundary for the United States. And they annexed Texas, of course, as you know, in 1845. So that made a big difference. But they had, can you imagine, we had river boats and the pirate Jean Lafitte was going up and down the Sabine, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, Jean Lafitte was right there.
You know, sometimes being in the desert, I forget that there's there's that much water. I forget about the rest of the state. It's just like, well, my goodness, you know, we're dry as a bone here.
That's why we talk about water, because they don't have any here. I mean, we're trying to make them say, you know, if you go east or if you go north or west, there is really water.
Yeah.
That's why when these people retire, they go like to Granbury, where there's a dadgum lake, they go somewhere else where there's actual water and trees.
Yeah.
and sometimes they will also retire to East Texas, where they can be near some of those lakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, all those people along there, you know, they hunt, they fish, and... of course, it goes through Gladewater. It goes through all those little towns. So, you know, they've been thankful for that water for, you know, 50 years, you know.
Yeah.
And when they come through West Texas, they say, my gosh, it's a desert.
Yeah. Yeah. We have appreciation for water.
That's absolutely true. And then when we have a drought, which it's always a drought, they say, You can't water the lawn.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you can't water the lawn. Then the trucks, these guys that own these trucks, they bring their trucks, and for $100 a month, they'll water the lawn.
Yep, yeah.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
Oh, and you can't drink it. Be sure everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah. And this is in Africa. I knew June was coming, and I knew to expect it, but it was like the 2nd of June, I think. I got in the shower that morning, and I'm like, well, I smell chlorine. And I'm like, oh, it's June. So, yeah, this is the month where we put the chlorine in the system.
Can you imagine?
I forgot all about it.
And then you have all your places over town that have the ROI water.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
I mean, you can't drink it. Only thing you can do is take a bath in it. Sometimes it doesn't look very pretty either. I mean,
so that's why we're appreciative of good lakes.
That's right. The lakes are wonderful.
Yeah.
And everybody should be visiting them this summer and get out of West Texas and see what the rest of the world appreciates when it comes to water.
Make for some great field trips or some day trips. Yeah.
I think it's wonderful day trips, yes. And everybody, if you go out on the lakes, be sure you have on a life vest.
Oh, yeah.
Men are
important.
Macho. They do not think they need a life vest. But let me tell you something. If the boat capsizes and you're in the middle of a dadgum lake, you will need a life vest.
Yes.
And there's not anything macho about saving your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, you know, and around here, you know, nobody has to worry about a life vest because there's no water. But there are several lakes close to Dallas, and every summer, Lake Louisville, Lake Ray Hubbard have lots of drownings. Two men drowned last week. It was unnecessary. They were in their boat. They saw this boat capsize with five people. They decide to go rescue them. They don't have life vests on.
Oh, no.
They both drowned.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. These families will go out in a boat. Somebody will fall out of it. Somebody goes to rescue them, and then they drown. Again, water safety.
Yeah, always safety first. Have fun, but it's always safety first.
Yeah, and they won't do it. Grown men.
Yeah.
They think nothing will happen, but, you know, something unexpected. The wind can come up, all kinds of things. And you need to have a life vest on, you know, if you want to be here another day.
Exactly, yeah.
So I certainly do recommend it. And I know out here people probably don't even own one because chance of them getting clear next to water is pretty hard. I mean, you know.
Oh, that's great. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, for somebody who is tired of the stock market and they're looking at, you know, they're sitting here thinking, my goodness, I really want to try to retire in 10 years, what kinds of things do they need to start doing?
Well, what I would do is I would put some money with us and start growing it, you know? It's not going to be real fast. We're not going to tell you that. But it's solid.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty solid. And, you know, you can look at everything everybody's made last year. Look at what we've made this year. I mean, look at it for yourself. Don't just take my word. Talk to our clients that have made all this money. You know, they've made a lot of money in the last 3 years. And it's because we're doing it the old-fashioned way. Just one policy at a time.
Yeah.
We just put people in that policy. We try to make them a certain amount of money. If it comes in early, they make more. And they know what they're going to make going in. They don't know for sure if it'll come in on time, if it'll come in early, or if it's going to be late. And we don't always know that. But that's your biggest risk is, you know, when is it going to come in?
That's relatively low risk. That's not really that big of a deal compared to some other options.
That's right. There's a lot of things that are riskier than this.
Yeah.
Yeah. A turtle going across the highway is pretty risky.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about risk. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of things that are riskier. And I think that if they've got several policies, it takes that risk right back down.
Yeah, yeah.
If you only have one, yes, it's riskier because it might go over and you might be sitting there several years longer than you anticipated.
You really want to try to avoid having all your eggs in one basket. Diversify.
That's right. Be sure you're diversified. It's the only way to be. And, you know, I know a lot of ours like to have a large amount in one policy, but they need to have at least 2 to 3 policies.
So for someone who's ready to get going, what's that phone number one last time?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, and everybody ought to know where that is.
Thanks, Faye. Have a great week. Get out and make some money.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.